come in Jesus' name. We enter your word with great reverence, as the apostle says, with fear and trembling, because we're fully conscious of our human limitations, how limited we are to deliver, and secondly, to receive this word as we should. Therefore, we ask you to come and help us. In particular, anoint me afresh that I would speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here, those who will hear me electronically. Lord, that this word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to be more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. My Father, I pray, I speak that the power of your Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to back these words, to follow these words wherever they are released and heard in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men to become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery, and I will do it with precision. Redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing individually in their life, said, Amen. This afternoon I want to share with us a very important message. It's really like a drill. We're preparing for the glory of God that is coming. But this message is so important that you would need to, something we should have been doing, practice it. Practice it and practice it until it becomes a part of you and what you do all the time. I, who am speaking to the glory of God, by the mercy of God, actually been practicing this. I never teach what I don't do. I always practice something before I come and teach it, as the Bible pattern in Ezra, as well as, you know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 what Jesus began to do and teach. And I have found it a great blessing to my life personally, particularly in the last few months. I had a lot of challenges. We're still having challenges in Nigeria. But this method of praying has really, really helped me. And I know it will help you. And I've preached it before. It's called praying with your thoughts. Our thought life is so vital, is so important, and many times we don't realize it. Many times we allow a lot of idle thoughts to take over our minds for significant amounts of times before we finally capture it, you know. But the Lord doesn't want that to be the case anymore. And as we move into the glory of God, the manifestation of the glory of God, these things are going to become essential. Now they're important, but then they're going to become essential because you will need to be in communion with God all the time. We call it being, you know, receiving from the Lord, you know, using a computer expression, online. You need to be connected constantly. You can't afford to have down times where there's no connection to the internet. and so you can't browse, to use the computer analogy. You need to always have your connection to God intact, so that at any point in time, you can always, so as it were, browse, the spiritual internet, so to speak, and download whatever it is that you need to have at that particular point in time. Turn with me your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 to start with. I'll give you the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Very simple statement. The Apostle Paul is winding down his epistle to these Christians, and he begins to give them specific instructions. So if something comes before this, rejoice evermore. Then he says, comes first, then pray without ceasing. Everybody say, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I didn't hear you.
Pray without ceasing.
I did not hear you.
Pray without ceasing.
I remember when I first saw this scripture many, many years ago, I said, that's not possible. Then the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and said, I can never tell you to do what I don't equip you to do. And then, he began to break it down for me. How do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? And I know the Bible does not exaggerate. I've come to trust the Bible. It says exactly what it means. And if it looks as if it cannot be done, it's because you don't know how. It's not that it cannot be done. I've said this many, many times. When Jesus healed one person in John chapter 5, there was a multitude of sick folk. He healed only one person. The Bible did not exaggerate and says, he healed many people. He just, only that one. Then in Nazareth, when he healed a few people, the Bible says he healed few. And then in another place, he said he healed all. So it's not an exaggeration. If he was few, he would have said it. If he says pray without ceasing, it means pray without ceasing. Look at verse 18. In everything, in some things,
everything.
In good things,
everything.
When you're feeling good,
everything.
In Christmas,
everything.
In Easter,
everything.
In marriage,
everything.
Hello? In everything, I didn't hear you. Give thanks. This is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He speaks with such finality and authority. In other words, rejoicing forevermore, praying without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, is the will of God. You want to know the will of God in any situation? Do those three things. But you want to know the will of God? Do those three things. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And the will of God will become clear. Many times the will of God is unclear. God, we're not doing this. Say, for this is the will of God. He says, in everything give thanks. Look at the connection between prayer and thanksgiving. You can't really pray without it being appended with thanksgiving. If you're praying in faith. If you're praying in unbelief, that's when you don't give thanks. Because you don't even expect anything to happen anyway. Hello, somebody. Second scripture, Luke 21:36. A very familiar scripture. Luke 21:36 is one of the conditions for the first flights for the glory of God. Watch ye therefore. I didn't hear you. And pray sometimes. Pray when you are led. Pray when you have a burden. Pray when Mommy Sarah declares a fast. That's deliberate. Pray on Tuesdays. Pray in all night. Pray when Nigeria is in trouble. I didn't write. write a scripture. Scripture cannot be broken. It means there's a way. I'm going to show you in a minute. It means that he cannot tell us to do. The man said, pray always. That you may be what? Worthy to escape. He's talking about all the things about the tribulation. That's why this is, you know, one of the conditions for the first flight. To escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. But that's not what I want to talk about this evening or this afternoon. I want to talk about watch therefore and pray always. Third scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Let me have this in the Amplified Bible, if you will. Do not fret. Oh man, open your mouths. Or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in the bad things, in the very, very serious matters, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Hold it there in the Amplified and switch back into the King James just for a minute. No, the same verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication. I like this because this is very important. It's going to tie into what I'm going to be sharing with you. Supplication with what? Everybody say prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Say the three things again. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. One more time. The first thing I want to disabuse from mind is they cannot be the same. Otherwise, God will not separate them. Now, technically, they're the same. They're all prayer. Because they're all communion with God. But in terms of function, there's something prayer does. There's something supplication does. There's something thanksgiving does. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. Stay in the King James for now. You'll come back to the Amplified in a minute. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Stop. Shall keep what? Your and your. They're not the same. Now, technically they are, because the mind is inside the soul. When you talk about the heart, it's talking about your emotions. Your mind is a part of your heart, it's a part of your soul. But what he's done here, he's used the surgical knife of the Spirit to divide the word. The Bible says the word of God is powerful, living sharper to the dividing asunder. You know, when, especially when you are facing difficult something, it is those emotions that run riot. Now, God is giving you a principle. I didn't want to use the word formula, you know, but formula, principle is really the same thing. You know, a principle that you can apply to keep your emotions and your mind under check, irrespective of the circumstance and the situation you are facing. In everything, in every circumstance, Fred, don't worry. And then not how to, he said, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving. See, if you do these three things and you do them properly, I'm going to show you how to do them in a minute. You know, you will keep the heart. You will keep the mind in peace. I think that's a good thing we all of us need. Some people need to have their heart and mind in peace. In every circumstance. Next verse. Verse 8. Finally, brethren. You know, I like the apostle. I love Paul. You know, because of the precision and the clarity
that he allowed the Holy Spirit to use him to write. With all this prayer in the background, he said, finally, whatsoever things are, I didn't hear you. Let's say it together. Finally, brethren. Turn to your neighbor, say, he's talking to you and I. I trust you are a brother. Finally, brethren. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever. I'm not hearing some people. It's only the guys in front here who like a better. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God has told us what to think on. I'm going to throw something out. It's a rhetorical question. Answer it in your mind. When I finish the message, God will help you to correct it. Can you honestly say you do this? Do you actually think on? What? He didn't say think. He said think on. What does that mean? It means that your thought life should be on these things. In other words, if it is not true, if it is not honorable, if it is not just, if it is not pure, if it is not lovely, if it is not of good report, if it is not of excellence, if it is not of virtue, you have no business dwelling on it. Amen. You have no business. It ought not to stay in your mind more than the second that it took to come in. I'm going to repeat that. It ought not to stay. I'm going to explain these things, you know, as I go on. It can come, but it should not stay. That's why you can't think on it. In other words, if any thought that comes into your mind should go through this discriminatory filter. Once it does not meet any of these criteria, the thought should be removed instantly so you're not thinking on it. The only things that are allowed to stay in the mind, or that should be allowed to stay in the mind, should meet this criteria. If it does not meet this criteria, if it does come, it should immediately be cast down. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And I love the third one. Bringing into captivity a few thoughts. The occasional thought. Every thought to the what? We just got a beautiful revelation from that obedience to Christ. What is obedience to Christ? That's it. How do I know whether a thought is in obedience to Christ or not? Very easy. You know, if it's in obedience to Christ, it will be in line with the word of God and it will meet this criteria. If it doesn't meet this criteria, it's not in obedience to Christ. So what do? I bring it into captivity. In other words, if it comes in, I have some kind of spiritual filter. There's something we have in our kitchen. I don't know whether it was my wife, Pastor, they bought it some time ago. It's still there. It's an insect catcher. When you put it on, it has this some kind of blue light, you know, and then it raises the voltage of some things. So when any fly or any insect, you know, is flying around, mosquito, whatever, you know, they're flying around, the light will attract it. So as the light attracts it, it will go, it will come in, and then it will go on that thing. That thing has a current inside.
immediately we get electrocuted. He brings into captivity every insect. Well, thank you. But Beelzebub, you all got it by the Spirit. Beelzebub is the devil. He's called the Lord of Flies. So when the flies of his thoughts come into your mind, you should have some things inside. Immediately come, just capture it. Amen. It should not stay. You know our problem? Many of these souls, they stay. Sometimes they will stay 10 minutes. So some people will stay 1 hour. And we have some yours truly, 2 weeks. What should have? I'll be playing, you know, can be meditating on terrible things. It's of good report. If it's not a good report, you have no business thinking on it. I didn't say it can't come. I say immediately it comes, you should be captured. I think the most challenging aspect of our Christian life is our thought life. The mind is with the battleground. If you win in the mind, you win everywhere. And over the years, I have endeavored to learn how to do this, and I'm better at it now than I was some time ago. And in the last few months, towards the end of last year, you know, we had this news wedding coming, had a lot of challenges. A lot of challenges. There were times my mind was, but by practicing what I'm about to teach you, the Holy Spirit helped me. And my wife and I, you know, such that we just sailed through. God did so many things over and beyond what I thought could be done. And I use these principles I'm about to teach you. You must learn to pray with your thoughts. And if, watch this, if you are constantly praying with your thoughts, automatically you'll be praying without ceasing. It's the only way that scripture can be fulfilled. Because you know what? At any point in time in your life, you are thinking something. As you are looking at me now, you are thinking. Don't let me tell you what you are thinking. In the only way, you know, Jesus used to do that thing. Somebody just talk to him to tell you what you are thinking. Amen. Men of God, you know, God tells us, don't be afraid. He tells us some things, but he doesn't tell us everything. So you can take some consolation in that. But but let me tell you, you know, if it's important, he will tell us. Like one funny fellow who came to Jesus. Jesus was preaching, you know, in one place. And he said, "My master beat my brother to divide the inheritance." But, you know, warfare, in our language, that means, you know, they wanted to divide the inheritance of their father. And he knew Jesus carried clout. Because Jesus was a teacher and a rabbi everybody listened to. So when the brother did not hear at home, he came to the meeting so that he could tell Jesus to tell the brother. Once Jesus tells him, he will get his money. The answer he got was not the one he expected. Because Jesus picked his mind. "Who made me a ruler and a divider over you?" Here he comes. Number two, beware of covetousness. You know what? He was not listening to the message. Everything, there are people like that in church. Everything Jesus was saying, all he knew was, "I came here so that at the end of the message, to tell my brother to divide the inheritance." He was totally, his mind was thinking on the wrong thing. How many people come to church, hear what we say, but don't hear? He's thinking about something else. And the thing that is going to help you is the one we are telling you. Along Ashan Noel. In our language, that means God will have mercy on us. And he will help us in Jesus' name. It's vital to master this thing. It takes time, you know, but you will get it.
Amen. You have to learn how to pray with your thoughts. Many of us, prayer ends when prayer ends. Did you get that?
Yeah.
We get up in the morning. Pastor has said we should pray. Love prayer. Jesus, I have life. I love God with all my heart. Blah, 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 blah. I can confess my sin. Oh, praise God. From then on, God is put in a back burner until when there's another problem. Gets to the office and there's a problem. Hey, God, have mercy on me. God, promotion. Oh, I'm going on expressway. Our demons will bleed the blood. Our prayer lives are so need-oriented. Man-centered. That whole mentality must change. A complete paradigm shift. The essence of prayer isn't just to get our needs met. We're going to get our needs met. Please don't misunderstand me at all. Our needs are very important. You know. But communion with God is the essence. He made us. That's why He made us. He made us for fellowship. So, even when I've prayed and I don't really have anything to pray about, do I stop praying? Say, okay, I've prayed. Well, I don't know what else to say to God. Thank you is something you can start with. Very important. So, communion. Now, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, very quickly. What we call the grace. That's what we call it. But this is where we got it from. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It's a benediction. It's a very short benediction that the Apostle Paul gave to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, when he was finishing the book of 2 Corinthians. And he says, "The grace of our Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what? Communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." It's that last one I want to focus on. The communion. This is praying with your thoughts. The essence of praying with your thoughts is to develop communion and intimacy with the person of the Holy Spirit. Then, after some time, your thoughts and God's thoughts begin to align so much. Now, when the Holy Spirit now wants to tell you something, it's easy for Him. It's very easy for Him because you're always communing. So when He wants to drop something, He will just drop it. Because He knows you will pick it in another second because you're always picking. The communion, the Greek word there is the word koinonia. That's where God's sharing, fellowship, you know, it connotes the idea of constant fellowship and sharing together. You know what? I should talk to God about everything. Talk to God about my tie. Huh? Tie care. You go, God is already there in tie. Oh yeah, He is. Even the color of the one that you wear. Talk about the shoe. Talk about, you know, the car. Talk about every... God is interested in every area of our lives.
Amen.
Every area. The problem is we don't come in with Him, so we don't get to know. You'll be amazed what God likes and what God doesn't like. And you'll be amazed... I love this one. At the sense of humor that God has. God is a very funny person, who. You know, he can crack jokes. You know, you'll be saying something. I'll say, Lord, I understand. Take it. And they tell you, don't do that one. I don't buy that one. It's not good. He said, I like nice things. Don't bring that nonsense. So that they will start thinking that, you know, your faith is not working. You'd be amazed, you know. We've put God in all these religious boxes.
the most, and I say this, it's not what I'm about to say, it's not sacrilege. You know, the most irreligious person you will ever meet is God. Now that sounds like a complete, God is not religious at all. He's a realist. You know, that's why they didn't understand him when he was around. The religious people, the Pharisees, the guys who knew the word, they knew the letter of the law. They knew all the things that the Bible said, you know, and all of that. When the God of the Bible showed up, they didn't understand him. They didn't even recognize him. You know why? He did not fit their religious box. And you know, the same thing is true today. Jesus shows up in the church today, half the church won't know him. Oh, correction, 90%. Not only will they not know him, they won't like him. Number one, the guy will be a hippie. He has long hair. He'll go to the party and drink wine. Then he will let Zacchaeus... You go and stay in Zacchaeus' house. A publican. And the conscious man of God says, alabaster box. Let a woman pour something on his head. Oh, they look holy. You know why he did all of those things? He was in communion with the Holy Spirit. He was in communion. So whatever he did was what the Spirit told him to do. He did nothing except what God told him to do. And God will just, you know, say, he's going somewhere. This guy is there. He doesn't stay in Jericho. He was just passing through. He just looks up. He sees this guy on the tree. Number one, how did he know his name? He doesn't live in Jericho. Word of knowledge. Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I must stay in your house. The guy came down with joy. He said, Lord! Me! Me, Zacchaeus! Yay! Hallelujah! Everything I have stolen, I return for. Oh, that's the G-Gogo. I give it back fourfold. If I, you know, I give half that goes, I give to the poor. Amen. Jesus knew his heart. He put it by crying of that tree. But you see, it was his heart that wanted, that was seeking after God, even though he had been a sinner. But he had a heart to do the right thing, but didn't have the power to do it. So when he went, Jesus immediately could see him. He said, come down. I stay in your house. He said, for he also is a son of Abraham. For salvation has come to this house today. The religious guys will never have heard it. And even if they heard it, they would have said it's the devil. That's our problem. Now, this is the principle of praying with your thoughts. You have to understand the connection between words and thoughts. I thank God. God used my wife last week, you know, to trigger back our consciousness of the faith principles by talking to us about Mark 11:23. You will see, quickly go to, he said, whosoever shall sit to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. That's the thought life. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. The point I want to make is this. Words, whether is in English or your language, or is in tongues, or even groanings, is what release power at different levels. Ordinary words release power. Tongues release more power. Travail releases even more power than tongues. There are three levels.
That's why we need all three. But the point is, the power that the words release. Now, this is very important, this principle I'm about to make, share with you, and I shared it before. You know, it is the power that you release from the mouth. Your thoughts are what now direct the power. And now determine how that power is channeled and what it ultimately produces. That is why even if you say the right thing with your mouth and you think the wrong thing in your heart, you won't get what you say. That's why he said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be and shall not doubt in his heart. That is why your thought life is critical. I used this illustration some months ago or years ago when I preached this, you know, and it is this. The engine of a car is what gives it the power to move, the engine and the gear system. But it is very interesting. It is the steering that determines where it goes. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Do you understand? You know, there's a little bit of power in the center. That's why we have power steering. But you know that the steering doesn't have... The power that it has is dependent on the engine. So if the engine is working and the steering is not working, you're going to have an accident too. The engine of the car can take you to Lagos. But you drive out of this place and the guy steers the car in the opposite direction to Oyo, you're not going to get to Lagos too. Even though power is available. That is where our thought life becomes critical. The thought life is what is directing the power of God that has been released from the prayer life. So, after I pray, I finish in a place of prayer, intercessory school or wherever, you know, all night or something, what am I thinking in the middle I leave? We just prayed for Nigeria. What are you thinking about Nigeria? I'm imagining how praise the Lord. It's true. I've been praying for Nigeria. It's well with Nigeria and everything. And I go out of the house. I go out of the church. And the next thing that, you know, I just see something on channel television. And my mind is, hey, this Nigeria. Oh, blah, blah, blah. The power that I've just taken has just been snatched from me. And it's been directed in a direction. That's why he gave us those instructions. Think on these things. Notice the instruction to think came after the instruction for prayer. It started with prayer. Then it ended with finally thoughts. Because it is your thoughts that will direct the power that has been released through your prayers. Am I talking to anybody here? It is for this reason the scripture is very clear and says, as a man thinketh in his heart. I want to paraphrase that with revelation knowledge. If you read some of the translations, it says the man is thinking about the money he's going to give you for food. You know, that's, you know, what the modern translations say. You know, but if we catch the spirit of what that scripture is saying, as a man willeth in his heart, so is he. In other words, what you are finally going to become in your life is going to be a sum total of how your thoughts directed your prayers. And that will now finally decide where your destination is, or what we call destiny. The word destiny, the word destination is a derivative of destiny. Where you, and that is true of a car. The final destination of a car depends on where the steering directed it. So as a man
willeth in his heart,
so is he.
Am I talking to anybody here? Now, how do these things work out? I've learned a few things that I want to share with us. Practically, I'm being practical now. Because I've worked on this thing for many years. How does this thing work? You know, I tried some things. It didn't work. I tried this one. But finally, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm finally able to come out with a few things that I do work. Because I've used them and they actually work. The first thing I want to talk about is thoughts. See, thoughts have three sources: God, the devil, and you. You are not too important, because what will prevail at the end of the day is either God or the devil, depending on which camp you are aligning with. You're not that important. You are important, but not that important. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? You know, at the end of the day, there's not God's way, your way, and the devil's way. It's either God's way or the devil's way. Now, you can decide to go God's way or the devil's way. Are you listening to me? Now, when a thought comes, that is not the problem. The problem is what your will latches to. I will. You see, if a thought of covetousness or immorality or whatever, if it comes to your mind and your mind does not agree and your will does not latch with it, you're not going to do it. Your will is very important. So your will is what latches onto a thought to give it direction. If your will has not aligned with that thought, it cannot direct any power. I'm giving you the mechanics of how spiritual things are taking place inside our hearts. When I talk, when I speak, I release power. When I now release that power, my will has to keep directing that power, my thoughts through my will, so that it will come to pass what I have desired. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and then you will have them. Your will has to, and believing has to do with your will. Look at John 20:25. It's the negative example of Thomas, but it brings out a very important principle. Look at it. The other disciples, I didn't hear you, therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he Thomas, said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of nails and thrust my hand aside, watch that, I will not believe. Believing is a function of your will. So shall not doubt in his heart is that he refuses to align his will with what is not in line with the will of God. I'm not going to doubt. I will not doubt. Just like I can say, I will not believe, I can also say, I will not doubt. I will not doubt who? I, as an act of my will, I am not going to doubt. Remember Joshua and Caleb. It was a function of their will. It was a function of my. You know what Joshua said? He said, you guys can do what you like. Oh, this is Olubi Johnson translation. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, why are you afraid? He said, they are bread for us. Let us go up at once, for we are well able. The man chose, and it's a choice, to believe God. And he gave a good report. Am I talking to anybody here? So your will is very, very important. And we see this in David. Psalm 116. Look at verses 9 and 10. Then I'll give you some practical things that I have been practicing that will help you. Watch this. I will. I didn't hear you.
I will.
Say it again.
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 I will.
Walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Look at the next verse, verse 10. I believed, therefore I have spoken. Paul quotes this in 2 Corinthians. He says, we have in the same spirit of faith. We believe, and therefore, he picked it from David by the Spirit. You as an act of your will. If I truly will something, if I want something and I agree with God about it, then I'm going to say it. I believe, therefore I have spoken. The Bible calls it the spirit of faith. Give it to me. 2 Corinthians, quickly. 2 Corinthians, I think it's 4:13. 2 Corinthians, there we go. Thank you. It says, I didn't hear you. The same spirit of unbelief. Hello? This is the spirit of faith. What do you mean? Spirit there doesn't mean Ajay. It means the principle of faith. This is the essence of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we have spoken. We also believe, and therefore, as it is written, and therefore speak. So you got to put voice to what you believe and make sure you maintain a synchrony between what your mouth is saying and what your will is willing. I deliberately, it's thoughts, because you can't will something if you're not thinking about it, you know, but it's not just idle thoughts. What my mouth is saying and what my will is agreeing with in my heart must be in synchrony, so that I can then direct my thoughts through my will. My will is like the rudder, if you like, and now channeling and directing the power that I've been released through my words. So when I pray with the understanding, or I pray in tongues, or I pray with groaning, it's all coming from the mouth. Whether it's understanding, whether it's tongues, whether it's groaning, it's this is how it's coming from. And that's where spiritual power, that's how spiritual power is released. It's released from the heart through the mouth. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Quickly. Beginning to wind down. Deuteronomy. But the word, I didn't hear you, is very nigh unto thee. In thy what? And in thy, that thou mayest. Look at the sequence. It comes out of the mouth, is directed by the heart, and finally it's done. It comes to manifestation. Mouth releases power. Heart directs the power. Once I direct the power with my heart and my will into the right direction, I will do what God says, because the power to do it will be there. The reason why so many Christians are not doers of the word and they are hearers only is that when they hear the word, their heart does not latch onto it, and their will is not latched onto it, so they don't do it. So to do the word, I've used taught this over the years. For example, the Bible says, be slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. How are you going to do that? I've learned it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it better, far better now than I used to do it before. And this is the principle I've used. I say, I'm slow to speak, I'm swift to hear, and slow to wrath. Then, after I have said it, anything that's going to make me talk plenty, any thought, I bring it into captivity. And my will now aligns with what my mouth has said. And then I direct that power into my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. And you know what's going to happen? I suddenly start getting slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. I get angry, but I don't sin. I get angry, and that immediately that anger comes up, the other thing inside that is checking it just goes there and says yes. And then it gives me wisdom how to. Bible says, you know, the it is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. It says, I deferred my anger.
I'm angry,
but I put it aside so that I can do the will of God.
It comes by the power of the Spirit. Now, let's now go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The prayer, the supplication, the thanksgiving. I'm going to close with this. This is what I have been practicing. I'm doing it even as I'm talking to you. You know, as the situation demands. Let me put it that way. I shared some of this with us not too long ago. I said one of the greatest blessings. Now, Satan doesn't bless people. But, you know, you should be, every time Satan tempts you, you should be thanking him. He just gave you an opportunity to remember to pray with your thoughts. Every temptation, and the temptation is not just to sex or sin, temptation to worry, temptation to fear, temptation, whatever. Every negative thing that comes into your mind is an opportunity to pray. And you know how many negative things come into your mind every day. If for every negative thing that comes into your mind you pray, you will be praying without ceasing. Give the Lord a clap offering. The answer is so simple. If for every, whatever the Satan brings, every time anything just comes, you know, maybe you're praying or you're on your way to church, you know, and a thought just comes to your mind about your children or something, you know, about something you're believing God for, some money or your finances, you know, the natural thing is to begin to fret and to worry. That thing go, we don't know what's going to happen. You know what I answer with now? I say, Lord, have mercy. I thank you. You're working on it. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. What is supplication? Ask for mercy. That's what supplication is. And then follow it with thanksgiving. So as the one asks for everything that is coming. You understand? I just answer it back. I answer it back with thanksgiving. Let me share a few things with you. You know, whenever the enemy thinks he has prevailed over you, that really is the time. If Satan is attacking you vigorously in an area, you know why? He's afraid. The minute you see an upsurge in a particular area is because you are making tremendous progress and you are about to break through. In fact, you should be happy because it's showing you that you are... And you know what? Most of the time when that happens, we get discouraged. And you are just about to make it. Your victory is just around the corner. Once your victory is around the corner, he increases his firepower tenfold to try and do everything. It's very simple. Remember prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Just say, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your mercy. You are working in that situation. I thank you. It is well. In Jesus. I have prayed. I have spoken your word. I have prayed in the spirit. I have grown. I have traveled. I know there is power out there. And I know you are working. It's well. You know what you just did? You took the power that you had generated in the all night, in the prayer meeting. And what you just directed in the right direction. You're directing in the right direction. And you know what? It we deliver. Amen. Always. When we're preparing for a tune's wedding, we have so many challenges. Personality challenges, challenges for this, challenges for that. You know, I pray. My wife and I pray. My wife went on a 21-day fast. So there was power in the air to get the thing done. But at different points in time, different disappointments. It was a particular case. My wife was talking about this yesterday to some people. On the morning of the wedding, somebody just came up and disappointed us. Said they didn't have this and they haven't brought this. The natural thing is to fret. Hey! But by
thinking the right thing. God just gave my wife the wisdom to ask another person to do something, and it went beautifully. You wouldn't even have known that such a thing happened the very day. The very day. So there are so many, you know, whenever I use something practical to get our attention. Same thing with finances. I pray once in a week for our finances. You know, we do the once in a month general. Then I do once in a week, you know, for scripture pasture, for life fort, for this, for that, blah, 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 you know. And then, you know, somebody will just come and tell me something. Evil tidings. But my heart is fixed. Because I prayed. So I'm not going to get into unbelief. I just say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. I know you're working on that situation. Thank you for what you're doing. Bible says in everything. With prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. When you do that, you know what's going to keep your mind? Peace. For that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. The word stayed means fixated upon. Stay on it. Develop, cultivate the practice of constantly thanking God for his mercy, supplication, on what you have already asked for. I'm going to repeat it. Cultivate the habit of thanking God with your thoughts for his mercy for providing what you have already prayed about. And what you're going to be doing is that you'll be directing the power of God that has already been released in the place of prayer. The angels will constantly be working on that thing, and finally they will deliver it. Amen. It's worked for me. It will work for you. Amen. This Nigeria problem. See me and say, oh, I'm at peace. This election, I'm at peace. I'm praying, oh. We're praying, fasting, and all, but I'm not fretting. I know the final outcome. Amen. Who has the final say? Jacob. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Nigeria around. Jehovah turns Nigeria around. He makes a way.
He makes a way where there is no way.
Yeah, Jehovah.
Sing it two more times and I go back to my message.
Who are? Who are? The final say.
Jehovah has the final say.
Oh, glory to God.
Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say.
He turns.
Jehovah turns.
Spiritual firepower that we are releasing. The demons over Nigeria have never seen it before. New spiritual weapons. Hallelujah. That is why the blood moon is there. The blood moon is the sign of the shaking. They haven't seen it before. This is not 1966. When there was one baby church that couldn't pray in tongues, that didn't know what they were doing. This is 2014, 2013, 2015. We didn't start praying yesterday. So when I hear, and we hear all kinds of evil reports, we don't have to expatiate on that. But they don't have the finances.
Amen.
They don't have the finances. Jehovah has the finances. Hallelujah. I will use types and shadows. Haman did not have the final say. He had a say, but it was not the final say. Nekoroba kasalabeba. Ain't take both tongues with ye. Not everybody understands tongues. Nekoroba celebre kesera. Laugh, we talk about interpretation. Haman thought he had the final say. He had such influence. But the destiny of the Jews was not in the hand of Haman. It was in the hand of Jehovah, who had instruments, Mordecai and Esther, who released power and directed power. Hallelujah. And finally, Jehovah had the final say. So, as you pray, and a thought comes to you about Nigeria, just thank God. In everything, give thanks and ask for mercy. Thank you for your... At the thought level, say, Lord, have mercy in that situation. Your health. Lord, have mercy. Thank you. You pray. Oh? See, thoughts don't generate power. They only direct it. That's why we need to keep praying. Praying in the spirit, travail, tongues, confession. Pray. But the power that is directed, don't let the devil steal it. Because what he wants to do, no wonder, look at that statement. It's a military statement. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's look at the antithesis. What if you don't bring it into captivity? It will bring you to, it will direct your, it will direct the power you generated in another direction. And bring you into captivity. That's how important your thoughts are. If you don't bring it into captivity, it's like an armed robber who comes and takes over your car and takes over the steering. The car will go where he tells it to go, not where you wanted to go. And the Bible says the devil is a robber. So instead of allowing the armed robber to take over your car, you bring the armed robber into captivity.
Amen.
You direct your thoughts. Your health, you direct your thoughts. Father, thank you. I'm well. I'm healed. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. I know you're working on it. Thank you. Instead of worry, that 20 minutes you spent, if you had just used that same 20 minutes, Father, thank you. It is well. You are working on the situation. You are turning the situation around.
Amen.
Is it not the same thoughts?
Yes,
is the same mind? Is the same will? It's just what you chose to use it for. Did you choose to use it to direct the power of God? Or did you choose to use it to accept the power of the devil? It's your choice. So you must make sure. Is it practice?
Yes, sir.
Practice.
Yes, sir.
Because we are so used to the negative.
Yes, sir.
You don't condemn yourself. When you see yourself go, maybe you've gone for 5 minutes, just remember. You are already. You make fun of yourself. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Okay. I thank you. I know you're working on it. I thank you. When you see that the devil's thoughts and something is getting fiercer and fiercer, and you can't pray more. go back, you know, maybe find a time, you know, fasting, prayer, Tuesday, all night. That particular area, I need to put more power there. And then you find that the thoughts become easier. I'm telling you what I practice, it works. Words, tongues, and travail release power. But it is thoughts that direct them. And when you combine your words, your tongues, your travail, your groanings, and your thoughts, you will pray without ceasing. Let us pray. Talk to God. That's how to pray without ceasing. So practical. It's so practical. That's how. There's no other way. You pray without ceasing doesn't mean you don't. I'm preaching now. I can't be praying in tongues and doing groaning and live scripture at the same time. No. But as I'm preaching, I'm also thinking. Thoughts are coming to me. Thoughts are giving me direction now. Say this. Don't say this one. That's God communing with me. I'm praying. Negative thing that comes, I pray. Father, thank you. The Bible says, as I've closed, but let me just say this. Paul did this too. You know, it says, if you see any brother sin, the sin which is on, I say, ask life for them. With my thoughts now, I ask life for people. I ask life for my wife. I ask life for my children. I ask life for my pastors. I direct the blood of Jesus in the house of Cornelius. Peter only said the word, but it was the Holy Spirit that directed the power. They never, you know, those people never said any sinner's prayer. They never did anything. Look at three things that happened in Cornelius, in Cornelius's houses, as it were, simultaneously. The word had gone forth from Peter, not from the people, not from Cornelius, but it was in the air. Once, that's why you need to pray. That's why you confess your sins and you pray for people and all of that. Once the word is in the air, your thoughts can direct the rest. The Holy Ghost did three things simultaneously. He directed the blood of Jesus. He cleaned the heart of those people instant. He directed the life of God. The life of God entered into their spirit. They got born again. He directed the power of God, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. All in one fell swoop. No words spoken. But the power to do it had already been released through what Peter said. Once the power has been released, your thoughts can do the rest. Talk to God, everybody. This is a drill, because I've preached this before. And start practicing it. Start practicing it. Start practicing it. Pray. Speak the word. And then after that, keep your thoughts in check. Ask for prayer. You've done that with your mouth. Supplication. Ask for mercy with your thoughts. Thanksgiving. Do it with your thoughts. And you'll be directing the power of God in the right direction. And you will prevail. Talk to God.
Bring it. You know, this word that Pastor has brought today is so critical. It's actually a very critical word. Very, very critical word. The reason is this. There is no way we can transit from being children to young men without holding your thoughts into captivity. And I want us to look at 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to be looking from verse 12, I want King James 12, 13 and 14. I write, now listen, these are categories. You have the children, you have the young men, and you have the fathers. It says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. They are not even in any warfare. They haven't even, they're not in warfare. They are being tossed to and fro by every wind. Yes, be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And what God can do is for his sake, just have their sins forgiven. Now, move on. Now I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That is a no shaking state, whereby his grace you come to know and have an experiential knowledge of who God is. But you can't get there without being a young man first. And I'll see what is. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now continue. I have written unto you, fathers. He says it again. Because you have known him that is from the beginning. Then I have written unto you, young men. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is where God was speaking to me from. I just had to bring us back so we can read it. This is it. He didn't speak to children. He says, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He no longer dominates your thoughts. He never leads you, no longer leads you to where you don't want to go.
Having the word of God in you, in your heart, in your mind, that enables you to overcome the wicked one. No abiding word, no overcoming the wicked one. Thy word have I hid in my heart, sin against you. You see, great.
Let me give you a testimony of how I learned this word. I learned this word from adversity. I learned this word from adversity. So this word is real to me. It's not a joking word. It's a real word. When I was pregnant with Mui Oluwa, I will never forget, because I had her on 2nd of October. And I was so strong. We did everything. I climbed steps. I did everything. Brethren came to our house. That's why I will not forget. The house was full of pastors. And you know how we do our things. Pastors and their wives, and we're always together. So, and I love cooking. So that was the time I was still very, you know, very, very much involved. Before the Lord opened me to a place of the virtuous woman where he said, you can have mates to help you and just direct. There's a season for everything. So that time I was cooking, I was doing, and I enjoyed cooking. I had bread then, had fun. That to tell you that there was nothing wrong with me. There was absolutely, I wasn't even trying. I was fit, hell and hearty, brethren. Hear the word of the Lord. This warfare is real. Then we went to bed. I was not sick. I did nothing. Then in the middle of the night, we were sleeping well. Not that not anything was happening to me, but I was very foolish. I was a child. The word of God was not abiding in my heart. I did not know my right from my left. I was foolish. And the devil almost destroyed life from me because of foolishness. Thank God for his mercy. And then all of a sudden, I felt like going to the bathroom. And then a thought came to me. It was a thought, brethren. It was a thought. That is why I am trying to get you to wake you up, to awaken you from slumber, because it actually happened to me. And a thought came to me and said, what if you break your water now? My time had not come. I was not 9 months. Moye was a premature baby. I said, I just laughed. I said, break. I did not know the word. I said, break my water. Kilo fefa. Me o sick, me o strong. Break water. Give me two more. It was a thought. What if you break your water now? Instead of being casting down imagination, that was the devil. I did not know. I thought I was thinking like a civilian. I was thinking natural. I see our demons of hell. What if apostate to me? And my husband was sleeping. And one more word, Emil, we didn't go to him, he came to me. I was the weak link in the house. Not anymore. If you see me praying and fight, I'm in Nigeria. Just today I said Nigeria's war is over. You see. Mashan Kalababa. The siege is over. Speak comfortably unto Jerusalem. Your warfare is accomplished. Mountains have become plains. Valleys have been filled. Cooker places. Yes. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all eyes shall see it together. Did all eyes not see it with Ebola? They saw it when we were praying that it was, when we were saying that Ebola is gone permanently, was it gone then? They were laughing at us. We were saying, look, unbelievers are looking and watching. Yesterday, my father said to me something to me. He said, then you know, legbe, anybody sibe, and you know, legbe sibe. He's a Muslim. They know, because it is not one time, it's not two times, it's not three. You think that because they'll be watching. When we go to Jabu to pray, we go and buy diesel for us so that we can have light to pray. Think he has even missed us. So that thought came to me. And I was so foolish. Brethren, I just went to the bathroom. I used the bathroom and I came back to bed to sleep again. Then I just heard brr. What is this? Huh? Kilele! In the middle of the night, the bed was, of course you know what it is. The bed was, I said, yeah! Then, suddenly my tummy went down. You know, because, so I just ran to my husband. I said, honey, wake up, wake up, wake up. The devil is attacking us. The devil is attacking the baby. Ah, honey, wake up, wake up. I said, honey, don't even say words. Just pray for me. Pray for me. We're under a siege. And then we went, of course, you know the rest. No liquor. The baby who was perfect, the head was down, everything was perfectly engaged, just waiting to be born. The water was gone, the baby had light transfers. So by the time I went to Dr. Marino, he just looked at me and said, this one, oh, you're not going to fake it, though, because we fake Dara. He said, this one, you will have to go straight to the hospital. Because there's no more like, oh, this baby cannot be turned, and it's your life we're fighting for now. See this baby's transfers. You know what? Just from a thought. Then God told me, he said, what did my word say? Casting down all imagination. You think imaginations are human? They're demonic forces from hell. That is why the Bible says cast down. Satan is cast down as lightning. And she used exactly the same word. Cast down. Satan is cast down as lightning from the heavens. And he used that same word, cast down. They are demonic forces from hell. They know personally, you know, I'm not a very good patient. Because when he's coming with those things, I say, but personally, just leave me alone. He says, mommy, no, just okay, I'm fine. Because you know, I beg. Because I'm aware. No way. Once is enough. From October, once is enough. Brother, you don't have to experience it. I have experienced it. This word is real. See, casting down. Cannot cast down. Imagination and every high thing. And the Bible says, cast. The devil is cast down. If you use those words, where is it? What, if you use cast down, Satan is cast down. It means that this is the Oguni. If it's Ogunwani, your success or your failure is here.
Hallelujah. That seals it. Makes it very practical. When that thought comes, cast it down. Then ask for mercy and thanksgiving. And God, the power of God will now be directed and it will counteract that demonic power. This stuff is real.
And like mommy has brought out, you know, you're in the battlefield. It's not a place for crybabies. It's a place for serious Christians. Let's stand to our feet. God. Symbolic but very significant acts of faith. Never let there be any gods. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them that believe not. Never let me go astray. Don't let your thoughts go astray. That's where it starts. It always starts with a thought. If you can capture every thought, you will never go astray. You need power. That's why you need prayer. The power is released in prayer, but the power is directed and used by your thoughts. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me today, reminding me of the vital, strategic importance, military, spiritual warfare importance of praying always with my thoughts. Oh my God, come and have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me with your communion and with your fellowship to cultivate this habit of constantly praying with my thoughts, asking for mercy with thanksgiving, directing the power that has been generated in prayer to do your will. Oh my God, help me. Help me not to allow stray and idle thoughts to play around in my mind. Help me not to think on worry, fret, anxiety, fear. Oh God, help me, help me, help me to cultivate the habit of thinking only on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence, and of praise. Help me, help me, help me to pray constantly with my thoughts. Nikaramatushke fre, zikaramakatushke fre, likatushke fre di. Tofre tolomashaka. Yere, noka rikatu fredes, norine likatusko fredele, lo prikatusko fredi gardolomo, zefredi, nikre, jeka frede, no fredes. Toloma, Nifridis, Nofredes, in Jesus' name. Put one hand on your body. Raise the other hand. Let's do our healing. Confession. I said confession, and that's what it is, but I want to say this. What we're actually doing is we're taking medicine. Spiritual medicine, but it's medicine. His word is medicine to all our flesh. Understand it and believe it. It's medicine. Remember when we were kids, we used to have Sunday daraprim. So here, collectively, we do our Sunday, then you do privately, should do it personally, you know, at least once in a week, you know, and then anytime you feel any funny thing in your body, go and take your medicine. Doze up. Doze up. Then after that, you can use medicine, natural medicine if you need to. You know, there's nothing wrong in that. But I'm going to put the spiritual first. Because there are so many problems the natural cannot solve. Sometimes the natural can only work after the spiritual has gone ahead.
I've discovered that in my personal experience, my wife and I, over the years. Sometimes I have to take malaria and all that, but you can never know. You can never know. Because before the thing is even knocking on the door, the spiritual power, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. I'm strong! So I take the medicine, it's just to... It doesn't even disturb anything I do. It doesn't disturb my prayer life, it doesn't disturb my work, it doesn't disturb anything. Whereas the same thing, some years ago, I'll be in bed for 2 days, 3 days, you know, with my high fever and a headache and all that, gone. I said take the medicine, but all that doesn't, he can't even enter the door. We've got to learn these things. So it's not just a confession, it's medicine. Don't your neighbor say, Ogulamu. In our language, Ogu means medicine. Say we are taking medicine. Say it's God's, it's not bad medicine, no, it's God's medicine. Don't your neighbor say it's, it's not African magic medicine. Say it's God's medicine. It's medicine to all our flesh. Okay, everybody, touch your body. Raise the hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. By the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I am healed. I have been set free legally from every sickness and every disease. They have no right. They have no right in my physical body, because himself, the Word, took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. So I am free. And now I release healing, resurrection, life, and power into my physical body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidney, all of my internal organs, my blood vessels, and into every cell, the DNA of every cell in my physical body to function properly, error free, in the name of Jesus. So I say, I am healed and I live in divine healing and health. So I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest, in Jesus' name. Amen. Nekaramatushke Fredes. Reprikatoske Fred. Loprikatoske Frede Gatoske Fredele. Nekotugomosha. Tolomankatuske Frene Zekaha. Fe Antuske Fres. Leprikatuske. Lamberkamtulomoshke Fred. Loprikatuske Fred. Zafrile. Yoko Nekotulomoto Fred. Zofridele. Jakatofre. No fridili. Nakatoro. Jikitofre. Zofridi. Nala. Jikitofre. No fridili. No fridile. No kotofre. Jikitofre. No fridili. Zofridili. Nangara. Nikitofre. Nera. No kotofre. Lambrakatoska Fredele, Yakaho, Lambrakatoska Fredesk, Tolomoshanga, Lambrako, Tolomotofre, Lambrakatuska, Nambara, Tolomoshaki Tufre, Lumbra, Tushke Frede, So Fredeles, Lufrede, Lufredeles, Shakator, Zefrede, Lopredos, Shakatoras, Nikatufres, Tofredes, Tufrenes, Nufredis, Ningaras, Tolomosh, Tolofredes, no fridis. In Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. Mommy, we're going to say the benediction. Medical science have discovered in the last few years that they're going back to a lot of biology now, because they have seen, and Dr. Williams, you can bear me out on this, that practically all sicknesses and diseases operate from the cellular level. So most, they're doing a lot of research now to see if I can solve the problem at the cellular level, every other thing works fine.
These prayers are attacking and giving medicine at the cellular level. You will not get cancer.
Amen.
What used to make us get it is carelessness. Because they've done a lot of research. They found out that the thing at the DNA level and something, the thing with just time is behaving. Dr. William, nobody knows why. They know it happens, but they don't know why. Why would a cell that is operating normally suddenly, and usually by the time it's going to show up on the CT scan and on the M, it's too late. There would have been millions of cells that would have gone wrong before you start feeling anything. What this wisdom God has given us now is to deal with it at the cellular level, so it never grows.
Amen.
So that we never see it.
Amen.
You will not die.
Amen.
You will live and you will declare the glory of God. Is this clear?
Yes, sir.
Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
When you pray with intelligence. Pray with sense. That's why God sent us to school. Yes! Person who doesn't know biology, cellular, but all this one is just a bobo. So when you are focusing and you are praying and you are praying in the spirit, you have something you are focusing on. So you walk here. You are not entering this body. Nothing. All my things are going to function proper. Everything. Hallelujah. You're going to get healthier and healthier. Younger and younger. In the end time, we're going to see age reversal. What happened to Sarah? How can a 90-year-old woman have a baby? The Bible says she receives strength to conceive. So something happened at the cellular level, at the hormonal level. Life was given to the womb. The womb rejuvenated. Her body changed. Her hair became nice. Her face, the wrinkles disappeared. And a king wanted to bless her lay at the age of 90. But that's what happened. There is nobody who wants a 90-year-old woman in her harem. He saw a fine woman at 90. If God did it for Sarah in the Old Testament, He will do it for you in the New Testament. Established on better promises. Let's get serious with our Christianity. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. I said everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies. Even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Oh, you will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life God satisfied. And show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, turn away the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to them and say, you never doubt in your heart because you always pray with your thoughts. God bless.